favorite scary movie. Have you checked the children?
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
I like what we have. I like what we got. And now we just have to restructure and pivot so that we can continue to do everything in a way that works for us now. Yay. For the people we are now versus the people we were 6 fucking years ago.
Fucking growth, baby.
Now we're recording.
Oh, there we go. Look at that. Look at that retrospective start to the first episode in a very long time.
I know.
More of a side story, though, really.
I know. It's not even a full formal episode, but we're just so stoked about these movies. We got to talk about it.
We have to. I'm so stoked right now. I'm going to just fucking start it off like, bam.
Ooh.
I need this. This is a long day.
I have a water bottle, so it's not as fun, but.
I have my favorite White Claw. Guess which one? In the spirit of the podcast.
Right, of course. Your favorite flavor of White Claw?
Mm-hmm.
Is it peach?
Number one? Motherfucker, you know me so well. It's absolutely peach. Oh my God, you're a monster.
I know you. I know you better than you know you.
I'm impressed. Let's fucking roll, dude. I'm with this.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast, kind of sort of side stories edition. Mm-hmm. I am your host, Alex Webster, and with me is Anthony Fuentes.
Ooh, I feel so nostalgic hearing that one. That feels nice.
We got the OG crew,
We started this shit, baby. We did.
Unfortunately, Phil couldn't join us because he is being worked like a frickin' dog at his place of employ that I will not disparage on air.
Yes.
So he is unfortunately...
Like a dog.
Yeah, he's going through it. But we wanted to record something a little quick, a little fun, just to get back into the habit of recording and speaking into microphones, but also... we have a whole, 2-hour episode that's video, and we're just working on that very, very slowly, but we do have a behemoth of an episode that our very own Anthony Fuentes wrote.
And
it's a star-studded cast, I will tell you. We got everyone.
We did. That's how you bring it back right there, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So stay tuned for that, but in the meantime, you know, there's a couple horror movies that have come out over the last month or so. There's one that's called Sinners that I've heard is pretty good.
Oh, shit.
Just kidding. Sinners has been living rent-free in my head since I saw it last week.
Really?
Oh, my God. Yes, absolutely.
All right. You saw it a little later. That's right. Oh,
yeah.
I had moved on to grander things.
Okay.
Like the Final Destination Bloodlines film that just came out recently.
I saw last night because I'm now the proud owner of a Regal Unlimited membership, so.
Motherfucker, so am I.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I got the one. I don't know if it's unlimited. I got the whatever the pass was that I can watch 3 movies a week or, I don't know, the $27 one?
Well, because with Regal, it's unlimited. Like, there isn't, a movie limit.
Oh, I'm AMC A-list. See, we're on opposite sides now.
We're on
opposite fucking sides,
We're on different sides of the divide.
Oh, shit. On the other side of the goddamn tracks, dude.
Is this where movie theater racism comes into play?
It's more like the Bloods and the Crips. Yeah, it's
so
gang war.
We can join hands and.
Yeah, that's sure. I don't know where your '90s knowledge of the Bloods and Crips came from, but let's just say that's how it's gonna work.
Wait, okay. Who's Biggie? Who's Tupac?
I'm Tupac. I'm Biggie. I'm a West Coast boy in my heart, but I don't know.
That's very funny. Mm-hmm. Before we start talking about fucking gangland LA shit.
Yes.
Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Sinners or do you want to start with Final Destination?
If Sinners is living rent-free in your head.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say, no, wait, actually, Final Destination is the most recent one, though.
It's true.
Let's give the most recent up top.
Okay, and then we'll work our way back.
Yeah,
and then Anthony has a nice list of upcoming horror movies that we can kind of Hot or Not.
Yes. Hot or Not is great. This is why we improvise. This is why we're good. This,
yeah. You know, I haven't improvised in a long time, so I'm a little rusty, but.
Oh, no. Listeners, I am on the NPC Gaming Podcast on the Horrible People's Network every 2 weeks, ideally, and I improvise all the time. So, you know, let's fucking roll.
Well, I'm with it. I do improvise, but it's really just me trying to make my girlfriend laugh. So.
That's, you know what? That makes two of us right there. Okay. Absolutely.
But let's dive right in. Let's talk about Final Destination Bloodlines. What do you want? Do you have the
I have the IMDb.
Yeah.
I got the IMDb. Yeah, I'm going to run through this bitch.
Do it.
I got this, Webster.
Okay.
All right. So, Final Destination Bloodlines. I heard that sound go weird. Does it stay away?
Yep.
Is it weird?
I was typing, so I muted myself really quick, but you're good.
Oh, that felt so odd. Okay.
Sorry, I won't do it again.
No, you're good. You're good. Anyways, IMDb says, plagued by a recurring violent nightmare, a college student returns home to find the one person who can break the cycle and save her family from the horrific fate that inevitably awaits them. Okay, I've been reading that good lately, though. That's one thing. This is written by Guy Busick, I almost said Gary Busick, Laurie Evans Taylor, and John Watts. Of course, it is directed by Zach Lipovsky and Adam B. Stein. So, and it stars, I'm actually going to go to Wikipedia for that, because that was what I would do before, and that actually
Caitlin
is not
Santa
working
Juana,
in my favor.
Teo Briones, Richard Harmon, Owen Patrick Joyner, Anna Lore, Breck Basinger, and Tony Todd.
There we go. Okay. Webster's still, she still got it.
Guy Busick, he is the screenwriter for Ready or Not, Scream 5, technically. It's just called Scream. Scream 6, mm-hmm. Abigail, and Final Destination Bloodlines. So this has his writing style written all the way over it.
It sure does. But you know, his writing style pairs very well with like some slick ass direction, which is.
Yeah.
This movie absolutely has right there. So, in terms of the box office, this thing just opened. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to go through the whole fucking thing because it just came out. It did have one of the biggest horror openings of all time. And it is the biggest horror opening of the 2020s so far.
I thought that was Sinners.
No, this one. Oh, no. This is, I believe, the biggest opening for the month, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, because I remember reading like that Sinners is one of the best performing horror movies of the decade.
Yeah, wait, actually, I don't. No. This beats Sinners.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, Sinners has longer legs.
It has. Doesn't, yeah, it? That's true. The box office right now for Sinners, I'm looking at it, is $318.9 million.
Yeah. Okay. So the Sinners debuted to $48 million.
Yeah.
And Final Destination debuted to $54.1 million.
Ah, I see. But in terms of overall,
the biggest opening, yes.
In terms, yes. I'm just a diehard Sinners fan, apparently already. I'm like,
I know you're trying to throw some misinformation out there, dude. I see you. I fucking see you, Webster.
Hashtag fake news.
Fake news, dude. Sinners anyway. Is the best. I know this violation bloodlines, but those bloodlines aren't from America. They belong on the other side of the border.
Nope. I do not put that evil on me.
Okay. I don't know if I'm Biggie or Tupac in this scenario, but we're definitely slinging the heat. We're slinging the heat for sure.
At this point, you're freaking P. Diddy.
Hold the fuck on. I just took a drink during that one. That would hurt my soul a little bit.
You want to talk about villains?
Oh my God. No, please. I don't have that much baby oil. I have a lot, though.
You buy it in bulk at Costco?
Oh my, no, my Costco membership expired, but I have a very close Target, so we're okay.
I guess that'll just have to do.
Yeah, oh, I'm moving though, fuck, I lose this Target.
Rip. Anyway.
Donut King it is. Hey, yes. Alright, so how about we start off with our standard little we're just going to talk about the movies and say your thoughts and whatever it is, but Webster, I would like to start off with you, because you said you had some fucking thoughts.
Yes.
What did you think of Final Destination Bloodlines?
So are we going to start spoiler-free?
I say we start spoiler-free, honestly. Let's do spoiler-free for both movies.
Okay.
Look ahead, and then we'll give everybody like a spoiler-based...
At the very, very end.
Yes.
That's exactly. Nice. Okay, cool. So my thoughts... As I was walking out of it, I was like, would I watch this again? Because the one of my tried and true things about the Final Destination movies is that I can always, like, they're very rewatchable to me.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely 100% endorse that.
They're something that you can just kind of put on in the background. In preparation for this, I was rewatching 3 with Cheryl. And she was just like, you know, I think I've seen all of these movies all like through like once. And I was like, you don't understand. I watch these movies all the time.
Yes.
I'm like quoting the kills right before they happen in 3 because 3 is incredible. And
it's so good.
And she was just like, wow, you really like this movie. And I was like, yeah. And she didn't even remember Mary Elizabeth Winstead was in it. And I was
my
like,
girl.
Yeah, I'm like, she's all of our girl. Like, like we true. All love
she,
her.
She wanted them goats, that's for sure.
And so
Ramona.
So that was very fun to rewatch and just kind of like enjoy. And like, so that was fun. But for Bloodlines, I think the premise was very interesting. I really liked a lot of the callbacks. Like, if you are a diehard Final Destination fan, there's so many little Easter eggs that I don't think necessarily interfere with your ability to enjoy the movie if you're not. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not familiar with all of the movies.
I'm with that. That makes sense.
But no, I had fun with it. I think it's maybe 15 minutes too long. But I had a really fun time. I think I would rewatch it. There's one thing that, like, it's in the same way that Final Destination 5 is. No, Final Destination 4, because this was 6. Bloodlines is the 6th movie. Final Destination 4. In the way that Final Destination 4 and 5 were really kind of sad. Like, yeah, 5 was kind of sad. This movie, like, I was just like, this is harsh. This is fucking harsh.
You know what? It reminded me of 3 in that way, too.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't give a fuck. Let's just have fun.
Yeah.
This is kind of the sense I got from the movie, for sure.
I do like... Well, I think maybe because... I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but plug your ears, I guess. The fact that it's focused on a family is, like, I think a little bit...
Say that.
It's a little bit harder hitting for me, I think. Oh. Like, it was just sad.
Alex loves her family. Alex loves her family.
Okay, fuck off. Boo. God damn it. All right, what are your thoughts, Mr. Emotionally Detached?
Oh, let me tell you. I love this movie. I thought it was so good. Probably the best. I mean, 5 was the one. 5's the best, but like... Honestly, it's fucking up there. I truly, truly enjoyed it.
Spoiler alert for 5. I think 5 has one of the best twist endings ever.
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 In like, all of horror.
In like, it is so fucking good because you really genuinely do not see it coming at all.
Yes. And 5 also, I would say, and we've never covered 5, so we definitely got to do that. We got to get to fucking 4. But we'll do both, just knock 4 out. Like we did with Resident Evil games. but... I would say 5 also had, which I think this movie also has, very likable characters, which makes the kills and the craziness that happens, that transpires, really affecting.
Yes. It's very affecting. Effective, yeah.
But I will, because, you know, as much as I love 3, that's some pretty standard S2000s motherfuckers aside from Mary Elizabeth Winstead, for sure.
Oh, for sure. There's also definitely an F slur at one point, and, like, Cheryl just looked at me, and she's like, your favorite, huh? And I was like...
Let's watch Bring It On. Let's go.
Yeah. I know. I know. Bring It On, also one of my absolute favorites.
Yeah, no, 100%. The spirit fingers thing I sent in our thread. Oh, that gets me every time. But for this movie, I truly enjoyed the opening set piece, like, a lot, actually.
Yeah.
I felt it was at such a small scale, too, at first, compared to literally every other movie in this franchise. I was like, okay, this is kind of... I mean, I understand why it's scary. It's a fear a lot of people have visiting this kind of structure. But it felt so small at first.
Yeah.
And then as it starts Final Destinationing, I'm like, ooh, look at the fucking... car behind me about to do a Final Destination.
Oh, yeah, I heard it.
Hollywood, baby, which I'm moving out of. But It truly was like a great way to start the movie, and it's so well directed.
Yeah.
The opening scene was shot incredibly. I was just focused.
At one point, I was in my the seat with my knees tucked up to my chest because I was stressed.
Yes. Yes.
Which I love in a Final Destination movie because you're just like looking around the whole time, like looking for things that, like our main character does, looking for things that can go wrong. This movie is Murphy's Law, like incarnate.
100%. Absolutely, because it'll go so bad.
Yeah.
So bad. And this movie does, yeah.
How much about this movie did you know going into it? Because I think I saw, like, part of a trailer. Like, I only saw that teaser. Yeah. And not intentionally, but, like, I just so happened to, like, I missed a lot of the promo for it. Other than the marketing, which I will say is very, very smart.
Oh, my God. The marketing's so good.
The marketing was very fun for this movie. They, like, I think really played up on people's nostalgia for the series. In 2, there's a very famous, like, log death scene. And for the promotion for it, it was a bunch of trucks that were basically wrapped to look like they were carrying logs or like they were carrying fake ones.
Yeah.
And they had all the advertising for the movie around it, which I thought was very smart and very funny.
Wait, I got one for you. I live next to the TCL Chinese Theater for the next couple weeks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All the elevators, because they did IMAX. They shot the shit in IMAX. I didn't see it in IMAX. But, because honestly, I wish I would have. But all the elevators in the TCL have Final Destination on the floor, and they made it look like the elevator floor is crumbling and it's going deep down. It's so fucking hilarious. Horrifying. Every time I look down, I'm like, oh my God, these guys. I'll send a picture. I'll post
Please
it up.
Please do.
That shit was awesome.
That's
but
sick.
Yeah. I will say one thing, though. This movie falls into a trap, it does something the Final Destination movies do a lot, especially because they change the whole lore here in a certain way. It does get exposition heavy before the set pieces. In ways I think that kind of drag sometimes, especially since I don't think the main characters are as strong. I think the side characters are great. I think the main character's a little like, okay, like you're you know, guiding the movie.
Well,
I understand.
I will say, in my opinion, her character was the most logical character, which I think is satisfying for me as someone who's constantly being like, why don't they just do this in horror movies?
You know what? Good point.
But
I 100% agree with that.
From an entertainment factor, it's just like, aw, come on. She's kind of a wet blanket, but it's necessary for my sanity.
Right? She's definitely a smart wet blanket. She's the kind of person, character that would put out fires. It just so happens that she is fighting death.
Right.
So, you know.
Kind of hard.
Kind of, exactly. Very, very difficult. And then there was one other point that I had here. Oh my gosh, we got to touch on this before we move on. But Tony Todd, send off, because this movie is the send off to him very much.
Is his final film appearance, and at this point, he knows he's dying.
Yes.
When he's in this movie, and did you hear this behind the scenes thing about?
He improvised.
Yeah, the director just told him to improvise his last couple lines. And they're, like, they're powerful.
They fucking, dude, I was getting a little emotional, honestly, to see. At our theater, as soon as he stepped away, just erupted in just applause.
That's awesome. Like,
yeah.
It was rough. Like, especially because he was so sick at the end, and he looks really sick.
He does. I mean, it does play into the story, for sure. But
yeah, well,
his
character in the movie is also dying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it was a lot, but it was really well done, I think. It was
respectful.
It was a very respectful send off for him. And there's also, I think, a photo of him with the cast from that scene, which I think is also really cool. But yeah, Tony Todd has always been like a for the fans guy up until the very end. So I think that was really, really well done.
Yeah, I agree. So do you want to conclude our spoiler-free and get straight to sinners? Because we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we have a lot more to get through. So,
should we rate it right now or rate it at the end?
I would say, would you recommend it? Because in terms
Okay, we'll recommend and we'll rate with our spoilers.
Yes.
How about that?
I would recommend it if you're a fan of Final Destination movies.
I would recommend it if you're not a fan of Final Destination movies. I would say go watch this movie. It does all the things you need to know about Final Destination, and it's fun as fuck.
That's true.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a fan to enjoy it.
You will get a lot more out of it if you're a fan, though.
Yeah.
I'll say that. They have a lot more, actually. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's Final Destination.
Yeah. Shall we move on to Sinners?
Let's fucking go.
Excellent.
I'm
with it,
dude. I'm halfway through this fucking peach claw. I'm a third. Okay, I'm with it. I held it up. I'm like, I'm bullshitting.
All right. So let me pull up IMDb for Sinners. Because I had Wikipedia open. God, this movie was so fucking good. So, Sinners came out on April 18th of this year, and the IMDb synopsis is, trying to leave their troubled lives behind, twin brothers return to their hometown to start again, only to discover that an even greater evil is waiting to welcome them back.
Oh,
I think that this is perfectly vague enough.
Yeah. I think that benefits for mm-hmm. sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So this movie was written and directed by Ryan Coogler, who did the Creed movies. He did Black Panther. He's an excellent director. I really dig his shit.
Did he do Fruitvale Station too?
He did do Fruitvale Station.
God, that one hurts my heart.
He loves Michael B. Jordan.
he does though. He truly loves Michael B. Jordan.
So this movie is starring, it's a running joke and it tickles me every time. This movie is starring Michael A. and Michael B. Jordan, Hailee Steinfeld, Miles Caton, Jack O'Connell, Wumi Masaku, Jamie Lawson, Omar Miller, and Delroy Lindo. This also, special shout out, the music by Ludwig Göransson, who has done fucking so much.
Really?
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Hold on. He's got
the music here.
Hmm.
He's got quite a pedigree here, from what I can tell.
Yes, he has. He did the music for Black Panther. He did the Oppenheimer, which he was nominated for the best original song for. And he was also, let's see, he did the composer for Fruitvale Station, Creed 1, Creed 2, Sinners. He's also scored Venom, Tenet as well.
Okay, that's a very sound-focused film.
Yeah, he's, like, crazy.
And he's about to do The Odyssey with Christopher Nolan. Holy shit.
Yeah, this is his, like, third time collaborating with him, I think.
Hey, he did Community also.
Yes, he also does The Mandalorian.
This guy.
From,
all right,
from 2019
good
to 2020, yeah.
All right.
So
the good seasons.
Good. The beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that was really cool to see. But the budget was $90 million, and its box office return so far is, like I said earlier, $318.9 million.
Huge. Fucking great return on investment right
there.
Oh my God.
Insane, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Ugh, mm-hmm. So freaking good. Do you want to start with your thoughts?
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and start my thoughts right now. Sinners, that's a good movie.
That movie right there, that's a mighty fine movie.
Mm-hmm. That's a prime steak, baby. That is a prime steak. I really, really enjoyed it. I feel like it definitely had the narrative format is comparable to another. Do we say the genre here or no? I don't know.
It's an adventure horror film.
Let's say it's an adventure horror film, and there is an A and B in terms of, like, the way the narrative drives up. The narrative is very focused on one thing for the first half of the movie, and the second half becomes something completely different that's definitely more horror.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a brilliant move. Maybe it's a little long. That might be my one criticism right there. But I'm going to say the narrative structure really does this, it makes the movie stand out tremendously. I think the performances across the board were phenomenal. Like, everybody stepped up to their A game. Every character mm-hmm. was distinct. There's a lot of drama and threads happening that are set up very like very much in the beginning. It's a whole different movie in the beginning.
I would,
but
say
you see them
movie,
come to fruition.
Yeah, this movie is very much split into two movies.
Yes, yeah, it explains its runtime, honestly.
Yeah, but I think.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I would say the runtime makes sense. I still think it's a little long, but it is justified in the kind of story it's trying to tell.
Yeah. I think I have a lot of thoughts about this movie. Starting first off, one of the things you mentioned about the characters, I was invested in all of the characters in this movie. Like, I wanted to know their backstory. Even the side characters.
The side characters are great.
Well, even just, like, the throwaway characters. Like, not throwaway, that's redundant. But there's, like, very small... There's small supporting actors in this movie. There's, like, literally a girl who watches a car for, like, 3 minutes in this movie. And even her character was just, like, there was... She was interesting.
Yes.
So the writing... incredible for this movie.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree.
In terms of, and I guess this is kind of sort of a spoiler, but it's not about the content of the movie. This movie was shot for IMAX. It showed in IMAX 70mm. Incredible. It was an incredible experience. It was huge.
You saw 70mm also?
I did. I went to Irvine. To see it.
Fucking old secret. I went to CityWalk, baby.
Of course, because that's where we saw Oppenheimer.
Where we saw Oppenheimer.
I think Oppenheimer was the first time I was in a 70mm IMAX theater.
Oh, really?
That was
the first time?
I think so.
Oh, shit. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, because I think that we also, when we saw Godzilla Minus One.
That was the Ontario 70mm, yes.
Yes, that was the Ontario one. So I'm just making my way through all the ones in SoCal, because this is my first time at the one in Irvine as well.
Oh, Spectrum's a good one. It's actually a good one.
It was really cool. I really enjoyed it. But anyway, all that is to say, the scenes, depending on what's happening, and I think the feeling Coogler was trying to portray, the aspect ratio changes. And
yes.
It was such a visually, like, appealing moment to me. Like, this movie is, like, eye candy in the best way possible. And that's not just me saying Michael B. Jordan is hot. Like, literally. Like, that's just a fact.
Yeah. But you know what? On that note, sorry, continue.
Oh, no. Like, please.
I was gonna say the IMAX screening or the switch to 70mm as it was happening in the film, it at some point, because the movie goes so long and like all this stuff happened, it felt like a Pavlovian response. I was like, oh, something's gonna go down. Oh, okay. Yeah. Pay attention, buddy. Let's roll. All right. The screen's getting bigger.
Yeah.
Let's see what that's about.
Yeah.
So I definitely had like that response factor happen. I think Ryan Coogler knew.
Yeah.
So he put, because it wasn't like if you ever watch the Transformers movies in IMAX, which I regret that I've done that so many times.
Ooh.
But it's so sudden the way Bay does it. It's like from shot to shot. There's no rollout. It's really fucking annoying, to be honest with you. The way Coogler did it, where it slowly expands, yeah. And you're like, oh, I'm about to see some shit today.
There's one scene in particular. I'll mention it when we get to the spoiler section, but like, it took my breath away. It was so good.
I will say one criticism.
Okay.
Actually, I felt the third act, the situation that kind of leads to the shit going down, was a little contrived. It was a little contrived.
It was a little
much for me. I can understand a character.
Sure.
I just felt like, oh, they snapped the fingers and they went for it.
That was a very interesting choice for me as well. I think, I was like, oh, this is really what kicks this off. Like, that's
yeah.
But how it goes down feels very traditional horror movie. It's someone making a stupid decision.
Very stupid. Characters not reasonable. I get it.
Right. And people aren't reasonable, you know?
No. Something about the execution didn't quite sit right with me, though. I don't know.
So, in my opinion... the third act of the movie makes up for what I feel like is a somewhat, not weak second act, but just, like, unnecessarily long second act.
Yeah, it's a lot of setup.
It's a lot of setup.
It's fun setup, but it's a lot.
The first hour of the movie is setup, like, to be clear. Like, the first hour, and then there's, like, some plot, and then shit hits the fan for the third act. Mm-hmm. The way that the movie was organized, or not the way it was organized, but, like... it doesn't feel like a traditional third act, three act show.
Yeah.
Which I also enjoy, But yeah, there the middle I had some criticisms, but the third act was so mind-blowing to me that it took away any criticisms I had about the movie overall.
Oh, interesting. I was actually a little more invested in the second act.
Interesting.
But the third act, I felt like it was a good payoff, for yeah. sure. Definitely a good payoff. I feel like the situation that led to it just didn't sit 100% right with me.
That makes sense.
But the second act, or the middle-ish of the movie, the before everything kicks off, it definitely lets you, it ups the stakes on the drama mm-hmm. and slowly builds to where we need to go, and then it really, the movie just kicks out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And you know what? We'll talk about it for spoiler time.
Yeah, how about absolutely.
That? Yeah, let's hold, because we're being very vague for a long time.
I also want to mention Rotten Tomatoes. This movie has a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. Let me know. What is Final Destination? Hold on.
Oh, 92.
Ooh, they're neck and neck.
They are neck and... This is a good month for horror, babe. This is why we're doing our stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh, we're back. Horror's back.
Okay, let's... Hot or not, let's go through upcoming...
Okay, because we both recommend Sinners.
Yes, so we'll absolutely. Just say that. Oh my God. Holy shit, go see Sinners. If you can see it in the theater, please go see it in the theaters. If you can, I don't think it's playing in IMAX anymore. I think it had a re-release last week, and now it's out of 70mm IMAX. But if you can't go see it in theaters, go see it in theaters. I did also just read that it's coming to streaming.
Okay. Yeah, you do that. If you got a big ass TV, I say do it.
I fucking hate news websites. I'm not subscribing to your stupid fucking. God.
Continue without disabling Webster. Come on, let them know you don't want to see any. You don't want any of your fucking data going over there.
I don't. Don't take my shit. But yeah, it's June 3rd. It's supposed to be released on digital streaming, which I'm sure it's going to cost money, but still.
Sweet. All right. You know what?
But yes, go see Sinners.
But worth. Give more money. Give Googler more money. Yes. He's good.
Absolutely. You go get. Right.
All right, so I'm going to run through a couple of real quick ones. Give me yay or nay and a thought about the movie. How about that? How about we go for that?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, yay or nay, coming out on May 23rd in 2 days, Fear Street, Prom Queen.
I didn't watch all the Fear Street movies, but I do like a prom-themed horror movie. I'm going to say tentative yay.
Tentative yay. I like that.
What do you think?
I'm with you. I like a good prom-themed horror movie. I do feel like the Fear Street movies were a little too cheesy for my taste.
Okay. I do love cheese.
They're like kid cheese, but they were also graphic as fuck. You know what? I kind of endorse that. I think if they get to focus on one story, it might be a little better. So I will also say a tentative yay, but... lean on the tentative part.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah, because for sure. I do feel like Fear Street, the original trilogy, first one, okay. Third one, eh. Second one was fantastic. So, you know, if you give me such a mixed bag, I'm really hoping if they get a chance to do this
right. Average out.
Yeah, it'll be good.
All right.
Okay, and then I don't know what the movie is. We're not going to do that. No, we're going to do that one because this is all cheap shit. Did you see anything about The Ritual?
The Ritual?
Yeah, no. Very spooky turn for Al Pacino. Boo. Okay, we're skipping. Anyways, so I'll just do the big ones. Ooh, this is a good one.
Okay.
Directed by Danny Boyle, releasing on June 20th, 2025. 28 years later. What is that?
Hype factor?
Big
yay.
Yeah, that's a big yay for me. That's a big yay.
I'm so stoked for that.
I love Danny Boyle. Yeah. So I think he's a great director. Alex Garland, I think he's writing it. No, he's not writing it. He's doing his own 824 shit. But honestly, 28 Days Later was a very pioneering zombie movie.
Yeah.
28 Weeks Later was some good, clean fun from back in the day.
28 Weeks Later was it was the Aliens to Alien. Like, it was the action follow-up to a scary movie.
Right? No, that's a good way of putting it. I 100% agree. Now, this one seems like... it doesn't seem like it's resting on its laurels. It seems like it wants to expand and do its own thing and set itself aside. And I think that's fantastic. It will be... followed up with it was shot back to back with another movie called 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple. So that's still out in 2026. Basically, they know what they're doing. They know the story they want to tell, and I really want to see it. So,
oh, interesting. Yeah, I did not know that part.
Yeah, next year is the sequel. So we got a quadrilogy, baby.
Yeah.
Quadrilogy.
Love that.
All right, that's a big yay for us. Megan 2.0, directed by Gerard Johnstone, releasing June 27th, 2025, yay or nay.
So, I caught, like, the last 30 seconds of the trailer walking into Final Destination yesterday, because I thought the movie started at 7. It started at 6:30, which really does mean it started at 7.
you have 30 minutes of fucking trailers? God damn.
Yeah, it was a lot. Like, trailer, like, I thought that I was late. I walked in at, like, 6:45, 50-ish, because I walked in late, and then also I wanted a hot dog. So, I don't know why. I'm on a big movie theater hot dog stint right now. I don't know why.
That's the least gay thing you've said.
Oh, also after I saw...
Alex likes hot dogs. Alex likes hot dogs.
After...
Hot dogs and her family. She just loves those two things.
I'm just an American gal, I guess. That's like a fucking like Bruce Springsteen song. Like, she likes her family and hot dogs.
She likes a family and a pussy.
Anyway, what was I saying? See, oh, after I saw Sinners, one of my my friends texted me and was just like, "So you saw Sinners?" And I was like, "Yes." And she's like, "Are you straight now?" And I was like, "I already would be for Michael B. Jordan, so it's a redundant question." Anyway. For Megan 2.0, I haven't seen anything. The first one is fun to make fun of, so I might see it just so I have something to make jokes about. I'm gonna say nay.
It's okay. Nay. You know what? We have an episode where you talk about Mithrigan. And,
fucking Mithrigan.
Yeah, and we I remember because it was contrary to me and Phil's take, so I can get your take, though. I understand where you're coming from. I personally, this is a pretty big yay for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought the trailer actually really sold me because it's so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the stupidity of the first one was what made that fun. And it really seems like we just talked about the aliens to alien thing. This definitely seems in that realm. It's a total genre shift, but I'm kind of here for it.
Okay. So, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I'm with it. I'm with this upgraded, taller, weirder, stranger, very vengeful Megan.
Yes.
So... yeah, Megan 2.0, you're a yay for me.
Yeah.
But I understand if it's a nay because the first one is not everybody's cup of tea. That's for sure. Yeah. We're going to go ahead and... I don't know what that shit is. I Know What You Did Last Summer 2025.
Big yay.
Really? Big yay. Yeah, this is coming out July 18th, by the way. Directed by Jennifer Caitlin Robinson.
But a lot of the original cast is returning, which means I think that they saw some potential. I'm not holding it to a high standard. Like, I don't think it's going to be... like, I think it's going to be a good good Summerween popcorn flick.
You know what? I'm kind of with you on that one. I think I'm a little burnt by nostalgia bait kind of stuff.
That's so valid. There's so much, like, of it right now.
I'm like the fucking Texas Chainsaw when they fucking brought back the older characters.
Yeah, that one's
and
fucking
dumb,
yeah.
The second two Halloweens in the recent
show. Sure. Yeah, I think that hurt all of our feelings.
It did. We talked about it plenty of times on this podcast. It really, I'm getting PTSD right now. But I would say this one looks better than those. It seems less contrived. So I'm gonna go ahead and say it's a nay.
Okay.
But it's not the easiest nay. It's not the easiest nay because I am a sucker and will watch it still.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm gonna say nay, but if I see some better footage or check out some reviews or get some testimonials, you know, I'll sit down.
Hold on, sorry. I'm also looking at a list of things.
Uh-huh.
Are they remaking Anaconda?
Wait, is that not on my fucking list?
Hold on. Anaconda is an upcoming American action comedy horror film directed by Tom Gormican. In the sixth installment of the Anaconda series and a reimagining of the original film, Jack Black is in it. Paul Rudd is in it. This is insane.
That was actually the last one on my list. I didn't scroll the entire time. We can talk about it now.
Okay. Because
that's coming out. I was going by release date, Webster.
Sorry.
Yeah, toss. You know what? We'll save Anaconda. Just keep it back of your head.
Sure.
Because we got a couple more. Fuck, this one's kind of stupid, but let's go. Bambi the Reckoning.
What?
It's from the same people who did Winnie the Pooh,
fucking Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Yeah.
It's directed by Dan Allen, releasing July 25th.
My yeah, God. Did Bambi just enter fucking
the public domain?
Public 100%. Domain?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh my God, I'm looking at the poster for this. Honestly, I'm gonna say yay.
Really?
It's a fine line. Like, if it's something as bad is so bad, it's good, but then there's also just so bad it's bad, you know?
Yeah,
like,
okay.
This is probably a so bad it's good. In like the sense that it's going to be entertaining. It's like Cocaine Bear. Listen to our Trash Month episodes for more on that. Or Sharknado, which I learned this past weekend. My mother, notoriously anti-horror, my mom loves Sharknado.
Oh my gosh, sure, Bambi.
Sharknado.
Really? I mean, Sharknado's. It was fun. We covered it. Right. It's fun. Yeah. It's a lot of fun, actually. Yeah, I'll give it. Wow. It's fun. It's good clean. Not clean, but it's good fun.
good fun. Well, okay, what are your thoughts?
Yay no, this is not happening for me. I'm not watching this. I'm okay. I have AMC A-list. That is going to go on the D-list. That is just not happening for me. But, I'll maybe retroactively watch it at some point. I'm not sitting in that theater for that. I'm too busy. To add Bambi the Reckoning to my rep. That's a pretty big no for me. But hey, you know what? In the trash month in like 2 years, let's fucking see. So,
hell yeah.
I mean, there's a couple other ones. There's a Toxic Avenger starring Peter Dinklage that's releasing in August 29th, 2025. Mm-hmm. I have no attachment to the original Toxic Avenger, to be honest with you. So this isn't doing much for me. I don't know. How are you feeling?
I've never seen it. I know some people who have. Who really like it, who may or may not be listening. I am interested in it. I just think I need to see the original one. Did you want to talk about Bring Her Back?
Which one's Bring Her Back?
The follow-up from the Philippou twins, the ones who did Talk to Me.
Oh yeah, that's coming up sooner.
Yeah, like
I have no
next
idea what's going on in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Talk to Me was pretty goddamn good, so.
Well, we saw Talk to Me together, and you were pretty jazzed about it when we walked out.
I love that movie. That shit was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I'm looking at the list that I think you're looking at, the Rotten Tomatoes one. So, you skimmed over some. Dangerous Animals is the new shark movie.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it comes out June 6th. It is a killer shark movie. It is a serial killer who takes women and makes them shark bait. The gist of what I've seen in the trailers. It looks batshit insane. It makes me sad because every time like a movie where like sharks are the bad guys comes out, people are really mean to sharks and they shouldn't be.
Yes.
They're not. They live there. I know Phil
You're
would
their
have.
Their domain, goddammit.
I know Phil would have thoughts on that, but he's not here, so...
Yeah.
Alex loves sharks and her family and hot dogs. But no, it looks very fun. I am reading that one of the main characters is a surfer named Zephyr.
Okay.
Which is a crazy name, but neither here nor there.
Yeah.
It looks fun. I would go see it. I love, it just looks very interesting. So I will, I'm going to yay that one.
I'm going to nay it. It just doesn't.
You don't do
shark? Conceptually, it doesn't quite hit for me. I don't know why. Maybe.
Oh my God. There's so many movies. You need to watch more trailers, I fear. Together.
I watched many trailers.
Together's coming out at the end of July. This is a, I want to say it's A24 or it's,
Blumhouse?
Not Blumhouse, the other, Neon. I think it's,
Neon's pretty good.
It's A24 or Neon. But it's like body horror.
That's the Dave Franco and Alison Brie one, right?
Yes, the real life couple, Dave Franco and Alison.
Where they're getting sued right now?
They're getting sued?
They plagiarized this fucking movie.
No.
You read about that?
No, I didn't know any of that about this.
Honestly, I mean, you're going to get spoiled if you read the lawsuit. So maybe that's why I skipped over it right there. But yeah, they took some pretty much a lot of the scenes from this movie. It was pitched to a studio that they had connection to, I guess. And somebody just ripped this fucking movie off.
That's crazy. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah. So I don't know how much. I mean, obviously, that's up to the debate.
Yeah.
But there are some things in the lawsuit that I saw. I'm like, fuck,
That's crazy.
That's some pretty one-to-one shit.
Okay,
I don't know.
A couple more before we jump to spoiler thoughts, because we're running up on time really quick.
That's so, why I was skipping a bunch, Webster.
But I need to talk about it.
Okay.
The Long Walk, yay.
What's with the Long Walk?
It has Philip Seymour Hoffman's kid in it. Cooper Hoffman. It is based off of a Stephen King movie or book, where basically it's a whole bunch of boys that they walk, and if they go walk under 3 miles an hour as a pace, they get shot. That's all I know.
That's pretty cool concept.
It's a dystopian yarn about young men forced by the government to walk until they die, with the winner getting the grand prize, allegedly. Mark Hamill is in it, and Cooper Hoffman, Philip Seymour Hoffman's son, is in it. So,
that synopsis sounds like Trump's third term right there. Definitely Trump's third term is going
to
be
don't
like,
do this to me.
Grind set, baby. You guys, yes, it's good. These weak boys.
Stop it. The Strangers, Chapter 2, Hard Nay. I haven't seen the first one. I heard it was garbage.
Yeah, that's not for me. I'm sorry. The first Strangers, the OG Strangers,
yes, good.
The subsequent ones just do not interest me.
Our friends from Sinister, Scott Derrickson and C. Robert Cargill, Black Phone 2. Yay for me.
Yay for me. Mm-hmm.
And then Frankenstein, Guillermo del Toro. It's releasing exclusively on Netflix in November. I'm going to say yay. I love Guillermo del Toro. He is saying that it's not a horror film, but we'll see.
I agree. I'm going to go ahead and say yay because I am a del Toro stan. We went to go see him at the Academy Museum.
We saw Pan's Labyrinth. Oh, so good.
We were such different people back then. Oh, my God. That was...
It was
something
a good
else.
Time. And then finally, Five Nights at Freddy's 2.
Boo. I don't care.
I don't care either. This is like a specific demographic, or like Five Nights at Freddy's is like a certain like age bracket that is even younger than I am. So.
Yeah, right? It's the same kids that went to see the Minecraft movie. It's not for me.
It
ain't for me.
Yeah, and then Anaconda, I'm just learning about it. I'm going to say yay.
Read the synopsis, please.
Just another 90s revival reappears in the form of Anaconda, but this time with an entirely new cast. Sorry, Ice Cube fans. As a giant snake comedically terrorizes Jack Black and Paul Rudd on Christmas Day 2025, expect much slapstick comedy to abound as the title snake decides who to swallow whole and or squeeze to death. What better way to spend the holidays with family than movies about huge anacondas?
Okay, so I have the Hollywood helicopter coming up over here right now. That. I don't know what's going on. But I think they skipped the part here. The movie is about people making an anaconda movie who are getting attacked subsequently by an anaconda.
Oh my God, it's meta?
It's meta as fuck, and I'm kind of down.
Okay.
Because that concept's so stupid.
That's so funny.
I think it's so stupid, I'm pretty fucking down.
I'm down. All right. Well, we're coming up on time.
Yes.
Yeah. So, let's go. Very, very quickly, Final Destination. It's very sad that literally everyone dies. I know everyone dies.
Spoiler thoughts, by the way, everybody. Spoiler thoughts.
We announced that.
I know. I just want to give them one more heads up. You went right into it.
We're on a time crunch, baby.
There you go. Everybody dies. Yes. Okay.
Everyone dies. It's very sad. Spoiler alert for Final Destination Bloodlines, as if you didn't know that everyone was going to die.
If you've never seen a Final Destination movie.
Right. Everyone dies. I will say there's so many characters that just walk off screen and we never see them again.
They play pretty fast and loose with these guys.
The husband and the wife, like, of the respective, the ones who married into this fucking cursed family, we just don't see them. They just are gone.
Right. No, but you know what? I gotta say, man, that MRI kill was some shit. That thing fucked me up.
Holy shit! Okay, so...
The tattoo parlor thing and the guy surviving, though, only to be fucking just... Like, that... That was great. That's fucking... I like how he's not even related. He's just dumb.
Yeah. Well, also, any, like... I think leaning into it, as someone with a septum piercing...
Mm-hmm.
That whole... The MRI scene and... The tattoo parlor scene both like hurt my face.
I can see that. I can totally see that coming from you. Absolutely.
It's also very funny because like at first all of his piercings get pulled to the machine and it indicates he has certain other piercings on.
Yep. Oh my God, that's that beautiful Final Destination humor right there.
It's
that
super funny.
Else.
It's also a very fun Easter egg when the the wheelchair is crushing him in half, and like the pipes go through his torso, and he has like a skull tattooed on his torso. And it looks just like one of the old posters. Yeah, posters for, like, I want to say Final Destination 5, so Final Destination.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Also, fucking, I love the ending with the logs.
It was very, that was a perfect
Easter egg. Very, like, honestly.
Yeah, that was great.
But before we move on to Bloodlines, actually, I got to say, Tony Todd's message.
Yes.
About just living your life and just being like, you're just going to go, like, just enjoy. Make the most of it.
Yeah.
Damn.
Did you feel motivated to make the most out of your life, Anthony? Did you feel touched?
A little bit. I'm a little drunk. I was a little drunk. But it was really, really nice, actually.
Aww.
So I don't know. Final Destination, this one hit pretty well. And I got to say, it was very well paced. Even with the exposition dumps, because I got to know all these people before they got fucking
marked. Yeah.
The peanut thing was kind of stupid.
Huh?
The peanut thing was kind of stupid.
Oh, yeah, that was dumb. It was a very lovable cast. Like I will say, some of the deaths were very CGI heavy, which obviously they're not going to do it practically. But the cousin, the girl cousin who like gets like kicked perfectly in the head, falls into a trash can, gets dumped into the trash compactor, and like her head just pops like a grape. It's so funny. Yeah, just a lot of those deaths. I will say, spoiler alert again, the mom dying where you think she got blown away and then she helps save the son and then immediately she's like, I'll stay alive as long as I immediately dead. So funny. The comedic timing in this movie is so good.
It's so good. All with a penny running through the through line in the entire penny, fucking thing.
Yeah, that was incredible. All just because some shithead kid wanted to throw a penny off the top of the equivalent of like the Empire State Building that is also a restaurant.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is another like birth control fucking commercial of a horror film. Fuck them kids.
You know what? We started this off with child death because that kid fucking got marked anyway. So
oh my god, him getting crushed by the piano. I was like, yeah. Oh my god, I gasped out loud. I was like, oh my god.
I was like, kill him,
get his ass.
I think we're having a good time on this. How about? Before we go to Sinners.
Yes.
What would you rate Final Destination Bloodlines out of 5 rogue pennies?
Ooh. 3.75
is pretty goddamn good.
I would say 3.75. It's not my favorite Final Destination movie, but I had a very good time.
Okay, I'm going to actually give it 4.25, Roaming Helicopters in Hollywood right now. I think actually it was one of my, like I said, it's in the top 3. I really loved it, and I do want to watch it again.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I'll watch it again at home. But yeah, it really is, I think, a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Good sequel. Very, very hard to get sequels this good.
I would say 1, 3, 5, 6, 2, 4.
Ooh. I like that ranking. I would say 5, 3, 6, 1, 2, 4.
Whoa, 1 is low.
But they're really close.
Okay.
I would say this one and 1 are super close. I think 1 definitely has some dated aspects to it. It's obviously the original.
Sure, sure.
This is more of a refinement of what's come before, but 5 and 3 really take the cake for me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we go through Sinners really quick?
Let's fucking go through some Sinners spoiler thoughts. Okay.
Holy fuck. The music was incredible. Just the scene, the I Lied to You scene where he's playing and then it turns into like you see all these different like decades of music represented and like
all these different eras that transcend time and
the
shit.
The way it was shot was just so gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
That took my breath away. Just the original music in general, I think was insanely well done. But the scene that I was talking about at the very beginning when we were talking about Sinners, how the aspect ratio changes once the vampires come into the Duke joint.
Yeah.
Like, just this scene, just like it opening up, like, I was like in awe. Like,
that's
literally
the Pavlovian response I was saying right there, dude. That was.
I had goosebumps. I think the whole last 45 minutes of the movie.
Right? Okay, but they make these vampires a fucking threat.
Yeah.
Like, they make them brutal, they make them manipulative, and, like, when it comes time for shooting and stuff, which, again, because I understand the mama wanted to cover, you know, for her child, but then she went fucking, like, a little too dumb.
Yeah, I think, for me. She lost it.
She lost the plot. For sure. But also maybe because her husband went hard and got, like, she's at that reckless point. But yeah. Then she got burned anyway, so there was no retribution anyways. But it's one of those things, though, where even when things went down, I'm like, nobody's safe. Nobody feels safe.
Yeah, pretty fucking gnarly. You're not safe from that helicopter?
No, I don't know what's happening. My door is locked. I'm good. I am a sinner, though. But yeah. And then Michael A. Jordan, Michael B. Jordan. that's how you do the split screen. They were showing off at certain points.
That was incredible. Like, the way that they shot it was so fucking, like, so artistically and stylistically well done. Mm-hmm. Before, oh, man, I had a thought. Oh, no. Michael, fuck, I had a thought and I lost it about the movie. It's gonna come.
No, you're so there.
I know. If I ramble enough, I'm sure I'll stumble.
Is it about Michael B. Jordan?
No, it was about,
It's okay. You know what? I'm gonna bring up two things real quick. Certain Miss USA told me that, she did not like the movie. Because she felt the movie was trying too much.
Interesting.
And there's a lot. Because, I mean, and I get it. Because it is it's a lot of movie.
Sure.
I think maybe the horror pedigree that I have, you know, makes me more susceptible to really enjoying this. Also, I think not many films have done the From Dusk Till Dawn format.
Sure.
Very, very, very well. But she says having not been as much of a horror fan and, like, kind of trying to, like, watch it, it definitely was more of a slow burn,
uh-huh.
I guess, for some people. And that, you know, it did seem like it was trying really hard to be, I think, too many different things. I think it coalesced very, very well, but I can kind of understand that criticism because it is, again, pretty drastically different between acts. I would say that for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but ultimately, I think it ended well, and it really does feel unique to me. There isn't a lot of movies like this, and I really, really want to see more unique stuff. Yeah.
I remembered what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Going into the movie, I had this expectation. I think maybe because the twins were, like, color-coded in a way. Mm-hmm. I was expecting Stack to be evil. I was expecting there to be, like, a good twin, bad twin type situation, because I feel like that's kind of what they go to in these sorts of situations. Mm-hmm. They're both very individualized, unique, flawed characters. Like, he's not...
Yeah!
And so that was really refreshing to me as a twin who sees, like, good twin, bad twin.
Oh, yeah, you got more of an attachment here because of that. Oh.
Good twin, bad twin type vibes. But... Michael B. Jordan had so much chemistry with himself, it was crazy. I forgot that he wasn't a twin.
Yeah. You know what? I agree. He played both of them so well. So distinctly.
Mm-hmm.
So distinctly.
They
felt like two very, very different characters.
I think this was such a powerhouse for him, like, showing his chops as an actor, I think. It was very well done.
It was very nomination worthy, I would say.
Honestly. I think so. Yeah, I'm a little worried because it came out so early in the year that people might forget about it come Oscar season or come award season.
Slap it back in IMAX. I'll do it again.
I know. They should do a re-release, especially now that the Academy has to see all the Best Picture nominations.
That's not going to stop them, dude. They're going to be like, watch this for a minute.
But I just, it's so stupid. I could talk about this forever, but we can't. What would you rate Sinners out of 5 Molotov cocktails?
Ooh.
Or 5 maybe cursed guitars.
Okay, I'm actually going to give it 4.5 violent Irish vampires. I'm going to give it 4.5 of those.
Hell,
I think
yeah.
It's not a flawless movie to me, but it's pretty it's great.
Yeah.
It's a great movie, and I think despite, like, again, the contrived third act and the runtime and all that kind of stuff, in spite of that, most of the vast majority of the movie is my cup of tea.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
It's my jam. Yeah, I'm going to say like 3.99.
Like, oh, just shy of great?
No, 4.99. Sorry.
Oh, oh, it's like, Webster, what
no,
the?
No,
you,
no.
You glazed it more than that? What,
no,
what,
no, no,
no. Hot, no, too few hot dogs. There's not enough hot dogs in the movie.
No, no, no. 4.99. Like, I again, my very, very small beef with the movie is right in the middle. But the third act completely blew me away. The very, very end of the movie where Michael B. Jordan lays into some fucking Klansmen was delicious.
Yes, yes. And also, the epilogue was my jam.
Yes.
I love that epilogue.
I loved seeing...
Closure.
Yeah, the closure, and I loved seeing some 90s vampires. That was incredible.
Right? I'm like, in just a few years, they're going to that Blade Blood rave.
Right,
absolutely
right, right.
Going to be at that Blood rave. And that's the end of Sinners for real.
Absolutely. yeah, it was an incredible movie. All the, like, normally I think after scene credits are kind of cheesy. This was very well done. I had a great time with it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. That's, yeah, ooh, Sinners, okay.
All right. Yeah, let's,
it's a classic right here, Webster.
Yeah, let's wrap this up. Thank you guys for listening, and thank you for your patience. I give a whole speech on the video episode, that like, the full episode that's coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. But thank you guys so much for your patience and, you know, getting people asking us or asking me when is the podcast coming back? It means a lot. Absence maybe makes the heart grow fonder. I don't know. But we're excited to get back into it. It's going to be slow. We're figuring out basically what a new normal looks like for us with just like the world and our lives.
Yes.
But, you know, we're all still committed to doing this and just finding what is the most sustainable option so we can keep doing it without burning ourselves to the ground.
Absolutely. And also, this was fun.
This was very fun.
I actually really enjoyed this.
This was very fun. I always love shooting the shit and talking movies with you, man. So.
You know what? I've actually been re-listening to old episodes. We were some shit talkers.
Oh, for sure.
We destroyed Pet Sematary 2. We fucking destroyed that movie in the funnest way possible. And I really look forward to doing it again.
Yeah.
I kept picking good movies for this upcoming part of the season, guys. But I'm going to pick some bad ones, too, Webster. I'm going to pick some bad ones.
Bad movies honestly, I love a good bad movie.
Yeah, let's pick some bad ones. Let's have fun.
All right, let's wrap this up. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Go check out Final Destination Bloodlines and Sinners if you haven't yet. Totally worth your time, money, energy, all of it. If you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest of all of our podcasting shenanigans, you can find us on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. You can find Anthony on Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler. He never uses it anymore, but he does have one.
I did just put up a bunch of graphics of all my friends
making fun of you.
My pose.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I'm going to put that in a post website. Those were too good.
Oh, you absolutely should.
And the NPC Gaming Podcast.
And npc.gaming.pod.
Your game news, we're ahead of the fucking curve, baby. Sorry.
They're kind of psychic, I won't lie. And then you can also check me out on Instagram if you'd like. I'm at Ghost Coffee Shop. I also have another podcast on the Horrible People's Network. I am a co-DM on Turning Tables Pod. So you can check that out if you enjoy D&D. We have a backlog of episodes through the ceiling. We just haven't been putting them out. So they do exist. The plot has continued, I swear to God. But we'll be putting out episodes for that soon as well. In the meantime, thank you guys so much for listening. And go live your life to the fullest, as Tony Todd says you should.
Oh, that's such a nice message. Beware of rogue pennies.
Yes. All right, bye.
Peace.